I'm going to read from the book Exodus 17, 1 to 7. Water from the rock. From the wilderness of Sin, whole congregation of Israelites journeyed by stage as the Lord commanded. They captured a river with him, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us, our children, our livestock, our thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What should I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead to the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Jorib. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people might drink." Moses did so. In the sight of the elders of Israel, he called the place Massah and Meriah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Amen.
Thank you, Lewis, for bringing the Word of God to us this morning. Let's pray. God, you are good. We recognize you are with us. May the words that are spoken in this time be from you. May we hear this morning your Spirit at work. May we faithfully follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. As a millennial, which means you were born somewhere between 1980 and anywhere from like 25 to 40-ish age group, I am a millennial. One thing that's really important in our age group is authenticity. So I'm going to be authentically real with you right now. I like to dance. I was at a fantastic dance party last night. It was so much fun. And I also got really thirsty while I was dancing because it got really hot. So that's an experience that I had where I was really thirsty. I would like you to turn to your neighbor right now and share a time when you were so thirsty you needed water. Share with your neighbor. Thank you for sharing. It's part of figuring out together. It's good to have a little sharing time and sharing our experiences. Well, as it's been introduced from Sophia and Emily, Arth and Shelby in the singing, we had this theme of thirsting in Lent. Let's just rewind a little bit to the last 3 weeks. And we'll be, you'll remember, and I'd also like you to pay attention to the visual over here, which shows the last 2 weeks and then this one as well. The first week we talked about our need of hungering. And we looked at Jesus hungering in the wilderness for 40 days. And then last week we looked at the story of Nicodemus and his wonderings and his wanderings and some of his own doubts and questions and how Jesus was faithful in that. And that even in those questions, he was there at the very end when Jesus died and helped to bury Jesus. This week we consider our thirst, our thirsting for God. Our bodies know when we're thirsty. We pay attention to when we're thirsty. We go to the spigot and we fill up a glass of cold water and we quench our thirst. I'm thinking of a time in the middle of summer when I went out for about an 8-mile run, and I was thinking about it. I didn't drink enough water before I left. And in the middle of my run, about mile 5, with the sun beating down on me, I could hardly continue. I was so thirsty. I ended up having to stop and ask a neighbor if I could go into their house for a drink of cold water. And in their graciousness, they allowed me to go in. I almost had a panic come on me, though, because my body was just screaming for water. When we're thirsty, we kind of panic. It creates this trigger in the brain that says, "Help me now. I need water." The reality is, even when we feel thirst, we probably have already been dehydrated. That's how much our bodies are made of water. It's part of the way God has created us. Water is so essential to who we are as humans and into the world that we live in. In two of the texts in the lectionary this morning, we have this theme of thirsting and water. Lewis read for us the text from Exodus, but in the New Testament text, it's the story of Jesus receiving water from a Samaritan woman at the well. Both of these stories together show us the theme of water in Scripture. Both the physical need for water to survive and the way water is living, giving new life to us spiritually. It fills us. So I would like to focus this morning on the story in Exodus, especially, and then we're pulling the Samaritan woman at the well and Jesus as well. But let's look at this story in Exodus a little bit. It's about water in the wilderness and God's grace providing water in order to satisfy the people's most basic needs. It's also a story about grumblings, doubts, and frustrations of Israel. Stories about trust in a God. See, I think one of the central questions here for Israel, as they've just come out of Egypt in captivity, is them asking, is it going to be any different this time around? Because when we were in Egypt, the Pharaoh also said, we have good things for you in your work. And if you look at Exodus 1:11, it's this positive invitation from Pharaoh. But ultimately, that didn't work out, and they realize they're actually enslaved. And there's not life coming, but death. And I think in the back of their minds, maybe Israel, as they're in the wilderness wanderings, is wondering the same thing. Is this really going to be life for us? Is Moses and God's intention for us really to have life everlasting and freedom? Have we just been brought into the wilderness to die, just like we were in Egypt? To be killed along with our children and their livestock and security? And here's Moses, and he's kind of caught in the middle of Israel's frustrations and God. I would like to say this is a perfect example of being in a triangle. You ever been in a triangle before? You have someone right here who's really upset. And then they're upset at another person. Maybe it's your coworker. And then there's you. And instead of this person going to their coworker and sharing their frustrations, they decide to go to you and talk about their coworker. And so now I have just been placed in a convenient triangle. So you have Israel really upset because they need water. And they're upset at God, or they're upset at Moses. But Moses is the one that's hearing all of it. Maybe they suspect that this is Moses' fault. In fact, he was the one that's been leading them out. So what does Moses do in the midst of hearing all of this grumblings? What does Moses do when he's in the middle of the triangle? Well, he goes to God and he says, "Help! The people are thirsting." So Moses cries out, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." And then the Lord says this to Moses in verse 5. "Go on ahead of the people. Take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you." Moses goes back, and instead of keeping himself in the triangle, he goes to God and he allows God and Israel to work this out. Yes, Moses will be a part of this, but he realizes that he cannot do this on his own. Moses goes to God. We're going to come back to the text and find the hope in the text, but I want us to consider for a second the same conflict that we have in our world today. We just saw the conflict in the text. Now let's consider conflict in the world today. Most of us, most of the time, take abundant, clean water for granted. We don't comprehend what its lack can bring. Fear, disease, death. Yet water is crucial. We can't take it for granted, just as Israel cannot take it for granted. We're realizing right now, right here in the United States, how crucial water is. While it can be easy to take for granted here in Lancaster, if you go to Flint, Michigan, it's a very different story. Or West Virginia, where there's been many issues with the water and the cleanliness of it. I'm even thinking about the aquifer under the Great Plains. I think it's called the Ogallala Aquifer. 30% of the groundwater used for irrigation in the entire United States is under this one aquifer. It is huge. And yet, it's at risk for being overextended. Its resources are being overextended. And the water levels are decreasing. This aquifer provides incredible amounts of water for irrigation for the people's drinking. And it may be even in the next 30 years, it could be at really challenging levels. What does that say? Have we taken water for granted too much? And around the world, not just in America, but in other places, commercial operations are buying up water rights. This means that a basic need, access to clean, free, flowing water, is less and less available. As glaciers recede, deserts grow, water is diverted to agriculture and industry. 1 billion people now lack access to safe drinking water. And yet, here we are with our clean water right in front of us. This morning, let's just not take for granted that we have clean water. It's simply not the case for 1 billion people around the world. So we have conflict today, not just physically, but our spiritual need for water. And so we all come with our own needs as well. And so as we come thirsting for God, God's life-giving water, where is the hope in the text this morning? There's hope in this story. See, God chooses to bring water and the life it symbolizes to Israel. But here's what's so remarkable about this story, is that God chooses to bring water and quench their thirst in the most unexpected way. Out of something that appears to be completely lifeless, a rock, God brings life. This, I believe, is very symbolic to the entire salvation history story that we're a part of. God brings life in unexpected places through unexpected people. Out of Egypt and out of the wilderness, God brought an unexpected way of life. And even in the New Testament story, where Jesus meets a Samaritan woman, talk about unexpected places and people that Jesus' thirst is quenched. A Samaritan woman on the margins of the margins in that context, where Samaritans did not interact with Jesus' people. And then it's a woman offering Jesus water. It follows the same theme in Egypt's story, in Israel's story, that God works in unexpected ways to bring life. And even through this story of Lent into Good Friday and resurrection, we see this upside down, unexpected way that salvation will come through Jesus dying on a cross and rising to new life. A totally unexpected way for the Savior of the world to show that he's King. Nobody would have expected that a Savior has to die in order for new life to come. And so God is bringing life in unexpected ways in this story and in our lives today. Where are we seeing life happening in unexpected ways today? It's all around us. I believe it's happening all around us. And part of our task as followers of Jesus is to become more aware of where those places are happening. I want to give just one or two examples where I have seen life coming out of unexpected places. One of those places Don and Judy can share more about with us. I'm just going to give a sneak peek in order for them to share more. But Don and Judy were just in Tanzania working with Dr. Glenn Brubaker, who is a physician and member of Willis Street Mennonite Church. He also has returned to Tanzania and helping to oversee a 1.7-mile solar-powered water pump system that delivers water from Lake Victoria to Sarati Hospital. Who would have ever imagined that in that context, where water was so desperately needed, life would come in an unexpected place of some Mennonites who had a vision to help bring life and working alongside the people there for a creative solution. Now, with this new solar water project, stations are accessible to natives who no longer will have to walk or bike distance to get water. Dale Ressler, who is a volunteer executive director of Friends of Sarati and a member of Forest Hills Mennonite Church, just told, if you read the Mennonite World Review article, it's wonderful. It's out there on our bulletin board. He says this: after visiting Sarati Hospital in May, when they had no running water for 3 weeks, I experienced this as a gift from God to see new life flowing. God works in unexpected ways to bring life. And I think there's so many parallels there for how life comes, not just the physical need for water, but that how God's love was also expressed through that. Another place where I've seen life happening in unexpected ways has been right here in our worship service. I love the way our children are involved in our worship service. And I think that our children show us an unexpected, upside-down way that the kingdom comes through vulnerable, imperfect, beautiful ways of worship. Our congregation is unique because we welcome the gifts of children. And as we welcome the gifts of children, we actually see a picture of beautiful, beautiful worship. Is it always picture perfect? No. But guess what? Our lives aren't picture perfect, so why should our worship? That's why we need God's life-sustaining grace to fill us. God has brought life to this church through the gifts of our children. And I hope that continues. This morning, we think about our need for God. That we thirst for God. Here's the thing. Just as God provided and sustained for Israel in the desert, He calls His church, us, to be the hands and feet of that same sustaining grace and love in the world. He calls the church, His body, to be the people that continue the work of God of receiving cold water and giving cold water in the name of Jesus. And I think of Matthew 5:35-40. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. In conclusion this morning, I would like to ask us to consider these questions. Where is your thirst leading you this Lenten season? What is your own personal need for water that's asking to be quenched? Life-giving water from God. What are the prayers that you need right now in your own life? What are the actions needed to continue in God's mission of quenching thirst?